you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford. It's one of the things we're doing to kick off the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon Thursday at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. And the man who works very closely with the folks out here at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union is our very own Dan Zangrilli.
What's
you
up?
Know him from pre and post. You know him from a lot of places. Dan, I think Limits is mad at me for saying that on the air accidentally. We also have a Bob Walk turkey call for you. Dan, would you, or Limits, would you play the turkey call for Dan?
So that is so good because it sounds very much like Bob Walk, nothing like a turkey, and exactly as you would imagine Bob Walk trying to call a turkey.
Well, apparently he went 0 for 4 over the weekend trying to actually get a turkey. Hard to believe that that call wouldn't work, but it didn't work.
He, what a man. I mean,
he
just
is.
Comes down here,
yeah.
Donates so generously to the Fill the Boot 5-Alarm Fund that we have. A man of the people. Can't say enough good things about him.
That's and a good way to describe him, man.
Yeah, he's, I mean, you know, he's got the hat on and just very casually dressed and just very much a Pittsburgher. And, hey, how about these shirts? We finally, we've got the shirts here. So
Ooh.
People that can come up to the location up here at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, it's right down the road from Sorgel's.
That's the great landmark to use because people
yes.
know where that is. It's right down the road here.
Yep, and you can't miss it. And these shirts are limited edition. There's only a few of them left, and the proceeds go to the 5-Alarm Fund. So come pick up your T-shirt. Fan swag. I love it.
And
fan
Dan,
swag.
These guys that we just met from Allegiant are wonderful people, and you work closely with them, and they're doing good stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's a growing credit union. I'm a member. There's a relationship that goes back a long, long time with some of the people there, and they do things the right way, and they're big into community initiatives, and they've taken the lead sponsorship for the Fan 5 Alarm Fund here, and they jump in with both feet. And, you know, I got a car loan with them and the whole nine yards. They're really good community credit union. They have, what, 7 locations now. They've got one on Cochran Road, and good rates and stuff, 4% on a 7-month CD.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
That's
so,
really good.
Good credit cards, good product line, and, hey, come on, be a member. Come on, stop by, and you get treated well here.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, it was a disappointing weekend. It really was, and it could have been really a great weekend. And in the end, instead of being they could be 12-10 right now under Don Kelly, which is an 88 win pace. Instead, there it just feels a lot different at 10-12, even though it's only 2 games. What was the story of the weekend, the theme of the weekend for you in San Diego?
Well, I mean, I think missed opportunities, obviously. You know, the bases loaded call on Davis was egregious and horrible. And, you know, there's some room there, and I mean, nothing has gone perfectly here for Donnie. I mean, I think it's easy to question how he went about, you know, the bullpen usage and trying to sneak a guy in here and there in some leverage situations. And I was listening to you guys on the way up here. I think, yeah, the depth question for the bullpen is a legitimate one, and it's a shame because I do think they have some internal options. You talked about Majinski. You know, they're hell-bent on him being a starter. Who says that he can't be a starter down the road, but for the here and now?
For now, right. Yeah.
Bring him up here, and that was a perfect scenario for him. And there have been a few other examples where you could have gone to Majinski. It's a real head-scratcher for me, and I'm not sure that Tanner Rainey warrants being in that situation really in any scenario. What has he done to kind of earn that? Sometimes it by default in usage and you have nobody else, I get that, but yikes.
Well, I agree with you. I think the here and now, they talk about urgency and trying to do it. The best option would have his arm in the bullpen, given all these other things that have happened with injuries. There have been enough of them. Kyle Nicklaus is a guy I had high hopes for. He went down. He seems to be better, but he was wild when he was here. You know, this season, it's not a surprise to me, Dan, and I'm sure you probably thought the same thing. The strength was going to be starting pitching. The bullpen should be okay. The hitting was going to be a problem. And the hitting has been the problem, the number one problem, even though the bullpen has had their issues as well. So we've been trying to talk about a lot of different things that have to happen. We're going to eventually talk trade deadline. There are guys on this team who could bring a lot, I think, to another team. So the question for you is, how much would that be? If you're talking about a guy like Keller or even Falter, I like Bailey Falter a lot. I'd like to see him stay here.
Sure. The way that, you know, he projects at PNC Park, and I don't know if I'd go as far as saying what he's doing is unsustainable. Certainly what he did in May, nobody's going to pitch to a sub-1 earned run average. That's not sustainable. But maybe you look at Falter as somebody that you trade high on. I don't think that that's a terrible thought. The contract's in obviously a really good place.
Yes.
Very durable. The one question mark I have with Falter, and I may have an opportunity to ask Donnie Kelly this, he's not thrown 90 pitches this year. Why? He's obviously gotten you plenty of length. He's been super efficient. Innings and workload, his capabilities there, that's not an issue. But he's never gone over 90 pitches, which I find bizarre. They're very judicious in almost keeping him away from that number. I don't know if it's actively doing so or just because of, you know, the set of circumstances in the game as to why that has happened, and it's more so coincidental. But it's a good question, number one. But secondly, he's a guy that, yeah, I think maybe you cash that stock in on, because there's a ton of control there, Bob, as
right.
well.
That's what I like about keeping him here. But then the offering
sure.
could be big.
And I think what he gives you, and it's not to dismiss anything that he does, but that's probably for a team like the Pirates especially, and they've had a good track record in identifying Bailey Falter types, whether it's the one-year free agent guys like Aheny, like Quintana. Yeah, Tyler. They've done a really good job of doing that. So they could probably afford to part ways with Falter and be able to recover and maybe even replace it pretty quickly based on their track record.
And they need hitting. So any way you can get hitting. There are no answers
right.
in the system right now, right, for next year?
I mean, no, outside of the internal improvement of a guy like Davis and Sawinski
right.
miraculously finding it, and then Hayes.
Andy?
He's never really had a runway, a significant chunk of time where he's been in the lineup on a consistent basis, and he's been able to stay healthy. So you look at how interrupted everything's been with his development health-wise, that's something that, and I love that swing, too, that he has. So, yeah, I believe that he could be a solution.
Bob has a question for you coming up here. First Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And as Dan Zangrilli mentioned, the 2025 Fan 5 Alarm T-shirts, well, they're available online, too. You can come on out here to Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Wexford, and we have them right here, but you can also get them online. Go to KeystoneCustomApparel.com and get your commemorative shirt. A portion of the proceeds benefits local volunteer fire departments. Bob, we got a call earlier today where somebody suggested a hypothetical trade that actually made sense. Bob, can you
tell Dan what
your Twitter question was? It's this kid from the Red Sox, Roman Anthony, who's the number one prospect in all of baseball. A caller called in and suggested, what about him straight up for Bubba Chandler, Bob?
Right, and only because it fits the needs of both. You have the number one hitting guy out there in Roman Anthony. You have the number one pitching prospect in Bubba Chandler. So I add, who would you make this deal? So right now it's 50-50 with
wow.
703 votes.
What a great
yes,
question.
I would make the deal. Thank you, sir. We appreciate
yeah,
it. He's filling
the
booth.
Filling the booth.
Appreciate it.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
That's good. Help yourself to some food down there, too.
It's 700 people so far.
703, 50-50.
It's unbelievable.
What would you do?
Would
you consider it at least? Bob said he would consider it at least.
You take a look at it, but to me, that's far more risk the Pirates would be taking than the Red Sox.
Why?
Because they're getting the pitcher and the Pirates are getting the hitter. And I think the way that we have seen, and this isn't just in the Pirates organization, but this is league-wide, it's harder for hitters to make the jump from AAA to the big leagues. Mm. So even though Anthony has the pedigree and he's the number one prospect, he is still far more, I think, unproven, ergo a higher risk, than Bubba Chandler would be for the Red Sox to take on. Because I think, as we've seen, pitching can translate much easier. That big chasm, this great divide that we hear, it's never been bigger from AAA to the big leagues. I think that is specifically to the hitter, and more so to an offensive player. So I think there's far more risk. You see, okay, we're trading two top prospects in baseball, one for one, and everybody can easily assume that that's just a even-Steven deal. I don't think so. I think the Pirates would be taking on far more risk with the offensive player than the guy that throws 100.
There's also the power arm injury risk, which is they're there taking is. On the injury risk. But I definitely hear what you're saying there.
So here. I'm not opposed to trading a guy like Bubba Chandler to try to get some big time aircraft carriers, controllable bats, young players, but they have to be somewhat bona fide, and they have to have a track record at the big league level for me to want to part ways with Chandler. So I'm not opposed to doing a one for one. But it has to be somebody that has sniffed the big leagues before and shown that he can make the adjustment.
Dan would be a good general manager. You know why? Because that's the kind of approach you would tell the other GM. Say, yeah, you think that's a one-for-one, but it's not, because I can't guarantee that guy's going to hit. He's never done it. You know this guy's going to hit right off the bat with his pitches. So I want Anthony, and I also want name a guy on their roster. He might help you too.
Sure. So
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album, or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers, or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could actually double
throw
down and maybe
Bailey
get more.
Throw in Bailey Falter. Yeah, throw well, in
no,
a Mitch
no, I'm
Keller.
Talking. I'm talking about the Red Sox.
No, I know.
In.
But you could really make a blockbuster deal and get a couple
well,
hitters.
Maybe.
In, one of whom is the kind that Dan is talking about, a good, young, the hitting equivalent of Mitch Keller. A good, well, a good hitter, a good hitter
a
in his 20s.
so you know? You'd have to get somebody else. I don't know who they are. But that's an interesting thought. And it's certainly going to have to be part of their consideration, because they don't have answers necessarily ready to go internally.
Well, and we've seen what the cost is for offense. For the Pirates to acquire Spencer Horowitz, they had to give up Luis Ortiz, a controllable starting pitcher, and a couple of other prospects as well. For one guy who is moderately proven, who is Spencer
right.
Horowitz is no headline guy that, while he may be hitting fourth for you now, he probably should be hitting seventh. You get a number
right.
seven guy or number two guy, maybe a leadoff guy, an on-base guy is essentially what he is, and you had to give up a controllable starter that throws in the upper 90s and two other players. If that gives us any idea of what the cost is for offense and how much of a premium it is. So that's
but then just imagine if you for that you got Horowitz, what could you get for Keller? What could you get for Chandler?
Yeah, proven.
You have one guy who's been an all-star, who's a good, I think he's still in his 20s, isn't he, Keller? 29
yeah,
or so?
If not, he just
And he's
had
a really good run.
Sure.
I feel bad for him. He's the bit you talk about tough luck pitcher.
Super
he's
consistent.
It.
Super consistent, big time pro, goes out there, deals. Yeah, he's got all the bona fides, and anybody that gets him, they're getting a good one. The costs are certain there. You have a timeline, so he fits into your window.
Right.
He's turnkey. He's got six different pitches. Been through a ton, so yeah, that's you better get a haul there, because what he is awfully, awfully valuable.
Well, here's Rum Bunter. And I do like Rum Bunter. This was, when was this from? A couple of weeks ago. Talking about reports of them and the Blue Jays perhaps getting together on a deal. But anyway, to deal Keller, I think would get you back something good.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you're going into games with Horowitz at cleanup and Key Brian Hayes batting fifth, I don't care who's in and out of the lineup, you're just not in a good spot.
Yeah, you can get for Keller, I think you can get a bona fide big league bat and a prospect. I think you can get a bona fide big league bat in a top 30.
that would be great. And you know, good for him. He'd probably get to a situation where he can actually, you know, sniff a postseason maybe for now. But I've always – Mitch was, you know, one of those guys I remember at the very beginning people were doubting whether or not he – because he was the blue-chip guy, right, here, that it just took time, which is also a message for a lot of people who immediately come to conclusions on players. Sometimes it takes time. You have to be patient a little bit, which is what I'm trying to think of with Henry Davis, being patient, and you're starting to see a little bit with him. I thought his at-bat the other night, Dan, where he got called out, was a pretty good at-bat. Oh. He worked that pitcher all the way, Suarez, right, all the way to a 3-2 count, was disciplined enough not to hit that pitch or swing at it, and he got rooked out of that opportunity. But I think he's a guy who's showing me, man, maybe there's more there. There has to be more there.
That's why I think everybody blew a gasket in the dugout. Situational awareness by the umpire in and the game itself, that's a big factor as to why everybody was ticked off. But I think everything that you just mentioned, the work that he put in through the at-bat, when you go through that, it's kind of an unspoken rule. You kind of earn more equity, and your zone perhaps expands just a little bit more as a hitter the deeper that you get into an at-bat that you should otherwise be rewarded. And umpires don't necessarily go along with it, but because he did all of that stuff and it was a great take by Davis and it didn't go his way, plus the situational awareness and lack thereof the umpire, those two things combined is why Donnie Kelly lost his mind. Andrew McCutchen stared a hole right through everybody, and I think even Gene Lamont was yelling. So, I mean, like, it was
Let me ask you one other thing about that at bat, because I thought this for a second. I don't know if it would have influenced, but Henry Davis's reaction to it, he almost said, yes, I earned this walk. He threw his hat down, bat flipped, all that stuff.
Sure.
Do you think that influenced Jimenez, the umpire?
I think human nature.
Because if he just stood and took it and didn't do anything.
Oh, of course.
He might have gotten a call.
I mean, I think it's the same logic. Like, does a basketball coach work an official slowly but surely to get into their ear? They're human, 100%. And if you have some equity, especially if you're a head coach and somebody's chirping or you missed that or this, I mean, somebody that has been doing something for a long time, that's why, I mean, not that Gene Lamont's going to scream and yell at people, but if somebody's, if that guy who's forgotten more baseball than anybody perhaps in the game, if he's saying something, he's got his bona fides behind what he's saying, and he doesn't do it all the time. Well, as an umpire, how could you not be influenced by it, at least subconsciously? Sure. And that's what they talk about, holding you accountable. Absolutely. Like, Jimenez, if he's worth his salt, he went back, looked at that pitch, and he had an otherwise very, very good game. For a call-up umpire, he graded out very, very well.
Really, I was surprised. I thought he missed some calls on. You're going to miss calls.
They were big calls. But the biggest pitch of the night he missed. So hopefully he's like, you know what, man, I'm hoping he wears that and he wants to get better by it, because, I mean, nobody wants to screw up at this level, number one. But yeah, you got to be ready, and you have to. You can't take a pitch off. It's a great, great reminder that for umpires, you cannot take a pitch off.
Why didn't Canario play yesterday?
Oh, I don't know.
Seemed odd. How long are they going to run out Tommy Pham? When are we going to see Chandler? When are we going to see Gonzalez? It's a lot of questions, Dan.
So, Canario, I would run him out there night after night after night. I mean, Miguel Andujar has kind of become a really good player for Oakland, and the Pirates didn't give him, I think, nearly the runway they should have from a couple
You're
of years
right
ago.
About that.
So I would try to avoid Canario being Andujar version two. Give him all the runway, Pham.
That's
of course,
a good, that's
you
a
know,
good analogy there.
Pham, you know, if there's a Tommy Pham buyer, I'm a Tommy Pham seller. I get that question on the post game a lot. Gonzalez, I guess it's how he handles, you know, the health, and then the Chandler. I thought he'd be up here by now, but you know, the more that I think about it and how the Pirates are approaching stuff, especially with Majinski, and I don't know if I have a ton of time here. Maybe what happens if you bring him up in this season, right? I'm just throwing a hypothetical out there. In the Pirates situation, and what if he won the Rookie of the Year? You lose an entire
year. I'm sure that's part of their – because they already went through that with Paul Skeens.
They did. And Jared Jones, I mean,
But isn't it kind of late? I mean, at what point – because Skeens was up 3 weeks ago
last year. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you bring him up in July at some point, I guess.
Yeah, he'll be up here at some point.
But the baseball reason, if there is one, and I think there is, the walks per nine are elevated. The strikeouts per nine are elevated. It's probably going to take a ton of pitches and he's not going to come up here and be very efficient if we're going to translate stuff from AAA to the big leagues with what a hitter is able to do. So I bet you he's going to walk his fair share. He's not going to go particularly deep into games. And then, oh, yeah, there's the innings threshold. So I think they're trying to serve a lot of masters here to keep him in play for that final month to grow him.
Dan, you're a wonderful man.
Thanks.
Always
pleasure. Thank you for taking the time out here, and you're doing great work. And well, so are the folks from Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, and thanks to everybody here. And come on up and buy a T-shirt, throw some money in the bucket. We're at the Wexford location here right down the road from Sorgel's.
Absolutely. We've had a couple different people walk up, and here comes a nice lady.
Another lady
up.
Who wears – there's a boot. It doesn't look like a boot.
Oh, donating.
But coming
up,
the boot.
The story I spoke about.
Thank you very much.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.